that the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. If that's true, then I suspect a good many churches could be confused with insane asylums. I think churches are notorious for wanting to see different results. We want to see more people come. We want to see new people come. We want to see this change or that change. But when it comes around to it, they say, well, we're not going to change that. We want to keep doing what we're doing. And then we scratch our heads and wonder, well, why is things happening this way? Last week, if you were here or if you weren't here, we began a conversation, talked about the state of the American church, which was a bit bleak. There's a statistic that says about somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 churches in the United States are closing their doors every year. If you put that in terms of a decade, that means in the next 10 years, between 40,000 and 70,000 churches in the United States will close their doors. It's a bit of a startling reality, and the majority of the churches, even those who aren't closing their doors, find themselves in decline, and they're struggling to get new people, and more people are leaving the church, especially those of that younger generation. And we realize that if we're going to continue, and we're going not just to survive, but really if we want to be a church that is thriving, we can't kind of fall into that pattern of doing the same things over and over and then wondering, you know, why the results aren't changing. And so we began the conversation last week with the introduction of the theme for this year, that we want to become missional Christians, that we want to become a missional church that really sees the need to recognize that we are missionaries in our own culture, that the culture has changed, and we need to figure out what that's going to look like for us as a church and to figure out how to adapt in order to effectively reach people, things that maybe churches didn't have to think about so much 50 years ago. And the question, though, is as we do seek to move forward, as we seek to become missional Christians, as we seek to think, what does that mean specifically for us in our lives? What does that mean for our church? What will guide us in moving forward? What are some of the guidelines that we will do? Because, you know, a church can make changes, they can move forward, and they can do really all the wrong things and it not really be helpful. We need some sort of guidelines to help us discern and think about the way in which we are making the right kinds of decisions. And so a number of years ago, I actually put together a list of 12 principles for ministry that I think can serve as a good framework, as a good set of guidelines to get us to think about the things we are doing and what we need to do in the future. And I came up with this almost 10 years ago. I've kind of modified them over the years a little bit. And to be honest, I modified these again on Thursday. I was at a pastor meeting and heard some things that I felt the Lord was speaking to me. And so what you have in your notes, I'm going to modify a little bit, but I'll get to that when the time comes. But what we're going to do this morning is, as we think about a church and what we want to see guide us as we move forward, we're going to look at the first half of those 12 principles this morning, and then next week we'll look at the second half of those principles. So before we jump into them, let's take a moment, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the chance that we can gather as your people. Lord, we realize this really isn't our church, this is your church. And we are stewards of the message that you have given us and that you call on us to be faithful to doing your work. And I just pray this morning you would just speak to our hearts and our minds as we seek to think about these things and how we can be better stewards of the message and the work that you've given us in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, ministry principle number one, and I have to say, this really is the most important of all the principles. This really is the overarching principle in which everything else falls under. And that really is remembering what we are about, thinking about our identity. Ministry principle number one, our ultimate goal as a church and as individuals is about building God's kingdom do that through proclaiming the message of Christ. That is what we are about, period. That is what everything we should be thinking about, what we should be focusing on. That passage in Colossians, the Apostle Paul, Colossians is this great letter about really the greatness and the centrality of Christ for the Christian. It is that it says, Him we proclaim. Christ we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we can present everyone perfect in Christ. We proclaim Christ. I love that you guys chose that song, In Christ Alone. It's one of my favorite songs. It's the one song I want to be played at my funeral someday. I just love that it really says what we're about. In Christ Alone. This is our foundation. And as a church, we need to remember, first and foremost, we are about proclaiming Christ. We are about doing His work in this world. Now, I'd like to say that sounds like an obvious statement for a church. Of course, that's what we're about. But sometimes I've found that we can get easily distracted, or churches can easily forget that this is what they are about. One of the things that we need to remember, because we are going to talk about, you know, getting new people, wanting to see new people come to the church, maybe even the church growing. And those are good things to talk about. I think any healthy church should talk about, you know, our church to be able to grow, to get more people to come. But we can start to think that's the final end in itself, as if bringing in new people is really the ultimate goal. And you can really want to grow your church for all the wrong reasons. In some cases, some churches get so caught up in that they, you know, basically bring in people from other churches. They call that sheep stealing. They get people to come from this church or that church. And so they grow their church, but it's really just taking people from other churches because maybe we have better programs than they have. And sometimes you'll see churches kind of take on that identity. And while, you know, I realize there's going to be people in our church, and there's some of you who came here from other churches, and that's not always a bad thing. Maybe you came for a good reason. We need to remember that it's not just getting people, you know, into the congregation. That ultimately we want to reach people who maybe don't have a church background, or who maybe have gotten away from church for a long time, and bringing them into our church. And then, of course, we're not just about, you know, getting numbers. We're also about spiritual growth and transformation. You guys know the difference between Lake Erie and Lake Ontario? Lake Erie, surface-wise, is actually a bigger lake than Lake Ontario. But if you were to see which one actually holds more water, it's Lake Ontario. Because Lake Erie, for the most part, is a very shallow lake, with the exception of a little section on the far eastern corner. Most of Lake Erie is only like 30 feet deep, which for a lake its size is pretty shallow. Lake Ontario, on the other hand, gets, I think, down to like 700 feet deep. Sometimes churches can look big on the surface because they get lots of people, but because they're all about bringing the people in and not necessarily about helping them to grow deeper in their faith, they can look more like a Lake Erie. You know, lots of people, but shallow when it comes down to the depth of people's faith. We want to certainly talk about having people come, but we're also about helping people to grow deeper in their knowledge of God and deeper in their understanding of how to live for God. And so depth is important. A third thing I might point out in terms of this principle as well is sometimes, and especially you see this in more established churches, some people tend to see the church as more of a social club. Oh, we come here because this is where all my friends are, and we come here to hang out, and we have activities that we come together and we hang out and we do things and have fun together, and it's okay to do those things, but sometimes that sort of becomes the final end, and we forget about growing in our faith. You know, and our fellowship doesn't go beyond talking about who's going to be in the Super Bowl or, you know, that kind of thing. Now, it's okay if you want to get together with your church friends and debate who's going to be in the Super Bowl or who's in the Super Bowl and who's going to win it. That's fine. But at some point, we need to realize we're more than just getting together and doing social things. That we are together. We have a mission that God has given us. And when we do fellowship, we should be having those real conversations, getting into each other's lives, saying, hey, how's it going in your life? How's things going? How's your marriage going? And we should have a place where people can say, you know, I'm struggling in this area. Will you pray for me? And we should be encouraging each other and challenging each other and having those kinds of intimate relationships. And when we remember that this is what our church is about, this affects the way we utilize our time and our energy and our resources, that we are about building God's kingdom, doing His work, both with our words and with our message, teaching about Christ to the community, to the world. And that will then help determine how we measure success. So may we remember as a church, our ultimate goal isn't just to survive or to grow in numbers. It's about growing God's kingdom and proclaiming Christ to the community and to the world as we are called. Ministry principle number two, simplicity is beautiful. The more complicated we make things, the more stress we tend to add to people, and the more likely we are to burn them out and forget the purpose of why we may be doing something. Now, I always like this, maybe just because I'm kind of simple-minded. I like to keep things simple because if it gets complicated, I get confused really easy. But I really do think sometimes churches are notorious for making things more and more complicated, adding more things or doing too many things, and then just getting so busy and wrapped up in all the busyness that we lose focus of what we're about. I think I wrote this in response to the first church I was at. Back when I lived in New England, I was an associate and youth pastor in a church in Massachusetts. And it was a church of about 300 to 400 people. It was a good-sized church, and it was overall a pretty good church. But I remember we just kept tacking on more programs. And we had this other staff person, and God bless her, she was a wonderful person. But she was one of those, you needed a lasso to kind of hold her back. Because she would just start one new thing, then she would start another new thing, then she would start another new thing without really discerning about, you know, is this really the best thing? She just kind of kept adding more things. And suddenly we had like 800 different children's programs. Not really 800, but we had a ton of different stuff. And they were all good things, but I found that we were just keeping people busy and busy and busy. And pretty soon we were competing for resources. And it was hard for me to find Sunday school teachers because they were too busy doing this new program that we just started. And it got to be that people were just wore out. And even in doing that, keeping people busy, we were not really having that intimate connections that we needed to have. We weren't really having those conversations with people. How are you growing deeper in your faith? It just became more about, well, I'm doing 12 different things for my church. Too many good things is actually not a good thing. And churches struggle sometimes to remember that. So as we think about our church, as we think about our lives, and I know it's not, you can't simplify everything perfectly, but if we can find ways to keep things simple. I think of the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible is a good example of this. You guys know the story when they have Jesus over to their home. Martha is busy running around trying to get everything ready, and Mary's just sitting at the feet of Christ listening. And Martha's, you know, doing all this work, and she's trying to get everything set, she's trying to get, you know, this food and this food, and she's getting really irritated with her sister Mary. And finally she says to Jesus, "Jesus, tell her to do something. You know, tell her to get off her back end and help me out." And Jesus actually rebukes Martha, saying, "Martha, Martha, you know, you're worried about many things when only one thing is necessary, and Mary's chosen that." And I think in a sense he's saying to Martha, look, you didn't have to make it this complicated. You know, you could have just prepared one dish and then sat at my feet like your sister. But so often we become more like Martha in our church programs, and we do this and this and this. As we move forward, how can we simplify so that we're not just stressing out and burning out and losing focus of what we're about? Simplicity is beautiful. Okay, this is where I'm going to make a little change. Ministry principles in your notes, number 3 and 4, are very similar, maybe even redundant, so I'm going to combine them and make them one principle, and then I'm going to add a sixth one at the end, a new sixth one. So just so you know, if you're looking at your notes. So ministry principle number 3, which will be 3 and 4 combined, people need to be more important than programs, and ministry should be a calling, not a coercion. Again, sometimes it's tempting to get so caught up, like, we have to get this done, we have to have this program going, we need to get this going, that we're not necessarily thinking about the people involved. And we say, oh, well, you got to help me because we really need to get this going. I still remember a church when I started going to church around middle school and going to it, and they would do their announcements at the end. And this church had a monthly dinner they would do. Every month they had like a Swiss steak or different kind of dinners, and that became, this is what we did. And even when I was young, I actually would go and help out sometimes. It was kind of fun. It was a cool thing. It wasn't much spiritualness to it, but, you know, it was a nice thing. But over time, they were struggling to get people getting involved in it. As I got into high school, I got more involved in programs. A number of our kids, we couldn't help, and our parents couldn't help. And so they were struggling to get help. And this, for this one person, she was so much about getting these dinners. I remember during the announcements, she would stand up and start yelling at the congregation. And she'd be like, people, you need to get going on this. You need to be committed. And she would just start scolding us like this, saying, you need to help with these dinners. And all we're just kind of like, she's kind of a scary person. And we're like, oh my gosh, you know. And just thinking, that's not how it's meant to be. You know, we shouldn't be guilting people into doing things just because we're convinced that this needed to be done. And by the way, that can go back to simplifying. Maybe we needed to find a way to simplify. But sometimes people get so caught up, they have to get this done, that that becomes more important. As we are calling on people, and by the way, every one of you should be involved in some way using your gifts, but it shouldn't be just us coercing you. You should be able to take a look and say, how has God gifted me? What am I passionate about? And we as a church need to be fine helping people to discover that and living up to their calling. Not just saying, well, we need somebody to fill this position, so, well, you know, Ann, you seem like you'd be good. Will you do this? Not thinking, you know, how has God really gifted you or called you to do it? And that's really important, I think, as we think about this, is how are we helping people discern their calling in the church and what they're good at, what they're passionate about, not just plugging in holes because we have a need here. And again, this might be this time we have to learn to simplify. There may be a time, if we're not getting the people to do a program, you know, maybe we cut back on that. Maybe we simplify that so it doesn't require so many people, or sometimes even cut something out. Now, I did give a little disclaimer in there because there are going to be times when maybe temporarily, you know, we need somebody to help with something, and it would be really good to have that. You know, for example, let's just say one Sunday morning, the children's Sunday school teacher had the flu and couldn't make it. Okay, and we're desperate. We need to get somebody. And maybe somebody says, you know, little kids isn't my gift, but, you know, this one week I'll fill in because I know this is important. There might be times when that happens, and that's okay. But ultimately, those should be the temporary exceptions. Ultimately, we should be helping people find what they're good at and encouraging them and helping them to grow in that area. So people over programs and ministry should be a calling, not a coercion. So now ministry principle number 5 will be number 4, and this relates to this as well. Ministry should be joyful, not burdensome. Ministry should be joyful, not burdensome. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. That doesn't mean you should just have everything should go, you know, lightly. Sometimes doing ministry for the Lord is hard work. Sometimes you're going to feel tired. You're going to feel worn out. That's okay. I mean, Jesus does call on us sometimes to sacrifice and die to self. But ultimately, it should be challenging in a way that is stretching your faith, not burning you out, not discouraging you. And again, when you're working within your giftedness, usually that's more likely to happen. And this is another reason, too, while it's not just about what we do for the church, but every one of us should be trying to get filled in our faith so that our ministry is like a cup that's overflowing with water, but our cup needs to stay full so that we're overflowing, not that we're running on empty. And that means we need to make sure we're also having time with the Lord ourselves, being recharged. That's why a Sabbath is important. And so, you know, we have that time to have that rest. But ultimately, we should be seeking to make ministry a joyful thing. God wants us to find joy in what we do, not just burdensome. Okay, ministry principle now number 5. Good ministry tends to be lay-driven and outward-focused. Lay-driven and outward-focused. I had a chance a while back to work with a guy who was sort of an expert on churches. He was at one time worked for Ashland Seminary. And he said dying churches tend to be 3 things. They tend to be too pastor-centered, they tend to be too program-centered, and they tend to be too building-centered. Too pastor-centered means, you know, well, it's the pastor who does ministry for us. We come and we receive the ministry the pastor does. But, you know, it's the pastor who does the things. Our church is going to grow or not grow depending on what the pastor does. And the reality is that's just not the way it is. The ideal, now don't get me wrong, I love to minister to you guys, but it's not just me ministering to you and that's it. It's, I hope, me helping to equip you guys to do ministry, you know, where God has you. And in fact, you guys, I can find, are going to be far more effective in reaching this community than I am, because you guys have been here longer. You know the community better. You know your friends. You guys are gifted. Most of you are far more gifted than I am, to be honest. I'm not trying to work myself out of a job here, but it's true. You guys are the ones who are gifted. So my goal is just to help equip you so that you're the ones doing ministry. But I've seen where some people have that idea. Well, it's the pastor. I can't pray. The pastor has to be the one who prays. The pastor has to be the one who does this. And dying churches tend to think that way. Healthy churches recognize that this is a group effort. This is a team effort. The pastor has his or her role, but it's really a team effort. The other thing is that healthy churches need to be outward focused. Some of the best ministry happens outside the church walls. and done by other people. I had the chance, I sent a podcast to some of you a while back. Those of you who don't know what a podcast is, that's basically like something you can listen to online, okay, like a recording. And it was, some of you will remember this, there's a lady that works with the Ohio Conference, Jessica Rockenberger or something, something like that. Yeah, whatever. She's like the mission guru for the Ohio Conference, the Mennonite churches, and works somewhere in Western Ohio. But she had this podcast that I actually thought was a pretty cool idea. She was talking about at her church, they realized they weren't reaching some of the people outside the community, and the Vacation Bible School was coming up, and they said, you know, we're going to do something totally different. Now, the town she's at in Archibald, I think it is, had a big park where everybody went. They had a pool and stuff. And they said, instead of doing VBS at our church, we're going to have it this year at the park. And they began to invite the kids in the park to come. And it didn't work perfectly. They had to kind of figure things out. They kind of learned as they went. But then in the end, they had this really cool ministry with people at the park who wouldn't ordinarily come to the church. That's a small example of thinking differently, that it doesn't have to be at the church, that you can do stuff outside of the church. In fact, we need to start thinking more like that, because that's what it's going to take to reach some people. I think of, you know, I was last summer was running a 5K race up in Hartville. And this is just a small little thing, but I thought it was kind of cool. I ran the race, and one of the churches up there, River Tree Lake, which is a branch of River Tree in Lake Township, and they're a growing church, they were there representing, they were giving out free snow cones to the runners afterwards. And again, that's a small thing, but I just thought, that's pretty cool. You know, they weren't asking for anything. They might have given some pamphlet too, I don't remember. But it was just like kind of cool. Like, this is a small service. They're making themselves known. I had a good friend of mine, Nick, from seminary, who lives in Fresno, California. And he went to start a church in Fresno, California. And I remember he said one of the first things that they did, they had a core group of about 20 people, was they held a car wash in town. And it was a free car wash. And people are you know, coming to the car wash and saying, oh, how much money do you want? They assume it's a fundraiser. They said, oh, no, we don't want your money. We're not asking for your money. We just wanted to show you we love you guys. We're for this community. And we're going to do this free car wash for you guys. And I don't know, they might have passed out a pen with their you know, church thing. But it was just a way to think, we're going to minister to the community. We're there for our community. And just little things like that. And my friend's church plant has grown, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, it's just those kinds of things, thinking. We can do ministry, not always here, but outside in the community, in hands-on ways. And obviously, you can do a lot more substantial things than just those. Those are just simple service ways. But some of the best ministry happens outside of the church. The other thing I wrote there is declining churches tend to treat their buildings as museums or sacred sites. And I think it's important to remember, if we're going to reach people outside the church, we need to recognize sometimes doing ministry is messy. And I mean that figuratively and literally. But that means, you know, sometimes we need to see this place not as some sacred place, but as a place that is all about serving each other and serving the community. I remember talking with some people from a church. It was a dying church. And there was a small group of younger people in the church. And they had said how they were about ready to leave, but they had said they wanted to do one last ditch effort to kind of get people to come to their church. And this was a small church that had just put in a nice projector and sound system at their church, which was kind of a big thing for them. And some of these younger people said, you know, we know the way we can reach some of the people in our friends, our generation, is we're going to have a movie night. We've got this nice sound projector, sound system. They were going to have a movie in the church. It was a clean Christian movie they were going to show, but they were going to kind of make a fun festival out of it. They were going to have food. The one person had a popcorn machine, and they were getting all this stuff ready. They were going to have refreshments. And they were so excited about this. They said, we're going to reach our friends. This is going to be so cool. And a group of people basically shot them down and said, you will not do that in our church. We don't do that. You're going to make our church messy and all this stuff. And they shot it down. And this group of young people was so discouraged. They said, that was it. We basically said, you're not really looking out for our generation. And so, not surprisingly, those people left that church, and the church is proceeding to die. But we need to make sure we understand that. The church isn't here just to make it look pretty. God cares far more about how we're reaching people than he does about the appearance of the church. And if we're going to reach people, we need to be willing to do what it takes. We need to be willing to find ways to get creative and not to treat this place like it's a museum or a sacred site. So good ministry tends to be lay-driven. It tends to be outward-focused. I'm going to add one new principle that I kind of got on Thursday. So if you're taking notes and you want to do a new number six, you're welcome to. New ministry principle number six, we need to move forward in faith, not fear. We need to move forward in faith, not fear. Do you guys know in the Bible what the most common command is? Do not be afraid. Is by far the most common command that is found throughout the scriptures. Do not fear or do not be afraid. At our Ohio conference pastors meeting on Thursday, this was a discussion that some were saying. One guy was even sharing, he was just at a meeting at his church, and he said every decision that we were making was based on fear. And it's easy to do. We want to play ultra-conservative. Well, we can't do that. Well, that might not work. What if somebody gets upset? Well, we don't have the money to do that. We can't hire that person. And we base it on fear. And I'm not saying you should be reckless or careless. I'm not saying you shouldn't use discernment. But at some point, if we're going to make decisions, we need to trust the Lord and step out in faith and trust in God and not determine things based on fear, not based on what if, or we can't do that, or we've never done this before, or we're not sure how this is going to turn out. We need to trust in the Lord that the Lord is going to work. And sometimes I think God blesses, I believe God blesses us when we take those risks, when we take those steps in faith. I know for me, when I've seen God most at work in my life, it's usually when I do something I don't feel I'm capable of doing, and I'm incredibly stressed out about it, and saying, oh gosh, this is a big step of faith. And it's when I've seen those that I've really seen God most at work in my life. So as we move forward, let's not let fear dictate our decisions. Well, we can't do that. We've never done that. Or I don't know how this is going to work. Or what if it doesn't work? Let's let faith lead us and guide us. We need to move forward in faith and not fear. So as we move forward as a church, we think about, I want you to think about these principles. Think about them in light of what we are doing and what we can do. And may we be a church, may we be a people that first and foremost is all about the gospel of Christ. We remember what our identity is, why we're doing what we're doing. May we be a people who cares more about the people than about the programs or about the building, that we are all about reaching people, and we are people-centered. And may we continue to move forward in faith and not in fear. Let's pray. Gracious God, I do believe with all my heart that this is a church with people with wonderful hearts and wonderful spirits. And I believe you have a plan for us, and I see the potential here. I pray, just as we continue to do your work and continue to do what we're doing, but thinking about what we need to how we need to adapt to this changing world, I do pray for you to give us discernment, give us guidance, give us strength and confidence that we can take risks for you, that you would guide us and lead us, that ultimately you would bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. We pray all this in Jesus' name.